Welcome to Church 307, Wyoming's online church. If you, yes, you are joining us live, would you please ever so gently get into the chat and you can say hello to us, you can pose questions, because today is a day of going deeper. Sorry for the phone. Hey, we are live every Monday at 4 here on YouTube. So if you can't join us live, then you can join us on demand. And with that, roll it, Grant.
Yep, yep. Send it.
I have the pleasure of sitting down with the heavyweights. The Colossus of Clash.
I'm going to try not
the... to. I was talking about your weight. I'm sitting down today with some good guys.
I feel like you were quoting Sandlot.
I was trying to. The Colossal of Slash. The great Clash of Clash.
Whatever they say.
The Ruth of the Brew. I don't remember the lines when I started spitting it out. But Mike, I'm sitting down here with you today.
Hey, my name is Mike.
Wilson.
Because he couldn't.
I didn't want to say it. I didn't know if that was information I could give out.
It's public.
Yeah. Oh. Better for consent.
And we are sitting here with somebody we know incredibly well. Many of you know him. Because he's famous around here.
Yeah.
Famous.
We call him Father Paul.
We do.
But his name is Paul Boffman.
It's amazing how one little news article can change a person's life.
Right. That's all it takes is one true thing to be posted in a newsletter.
What was that article?
It was, what was it about?
There was an article in the newspaper.
It was the that's right,
Oh, Grant. It was about the Mustangs. That's right.
It was... Paul was credited as being the father, spiritual guidance leader of the Mustangs.
That's right. And that's what they quoted me as, because evidently the gentleman who wrote the article had some...
Probably a Catholic dude.
Catholic or Lutheran or something. And yeah, they...
Father Paul.
Father Paul. Father so Paul rolls we, off we don't have to use that for today.
We don't have to, but us we will.
Us Protestants don't use, evangelicals don't use father in our titles.
No.
But
my whatever. Son doesn't even use that. So, you know.
Father.
He calls me daddy.
Father.
He calls me daddy.
Yeah.
Dad.
Abba.
Yeah.
So anyway, Paul is the discipleship pastor here and kind of oversees discipleship. A lot of churches would call you executive pastor, but you kind of do more of the spiritual side of things. So sure. We say discipleship pastor. And
yeah.
So we can joke around because we know each other very well. And today we're talking about a topic that he is passionate about and has spoken about here recently. And so we're going to dive into an Acts passage here on this day before tax day.
Oh, man, tax day.
We were just all venting about how we have to give the government money tomorrow. So we're in bad moods.
I think we already gave them the money. Well, most of us did. I'm getting money back, so.
I'm not dropping that check in the mail until I have to.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. But I need you to put that in the mail because they have to give me money, and so they're waiting on your money.
Well, that.
Could you hurry up?
I hear it's a bad thing if you overpay. That's why you're getting a refund. You overpay.
I know. You don't I agree. And it was because they, long. It's actually because they changed something. I don't know if you know that. They changed the law once in a while.
Once in a while.
And so it caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good.
I also appreciate your picture on the thumbnail of this video, your muscles being shown.
Yeah.
Quite impressive.
Well, we're talking about power today, so I thought I'd show them off.
Oh, yeah.
Power team style.
I'm sorry to make you jealous.
Yeah, if someone's bringing power,
it's
Father Paul.
Yeah.
Powerful Paul.
I mean it. Yeah, Powerful Paul. That's another thing that we call him.
Yeah. So the passage we're talking about today is about Holy Spirit empowerment.
Activation.
In addition to Holy Spirit activate, in addition to other things. And so I'm going to read the passage to kick us off.
Read it.
Acts 1, verses 4 through 12 goes like this. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
Can you imagine getting baptized by the Holy Spirit, like being dunked in the water?
Yeah, it would probably hurt.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That would be pretty strong.
I I don't want to even envision it.
Paul probably baptized gently.
Yeah. I did yesterday.
Yeah.
We baptized some people.
John.
Oh, John. Yes.
The Baptist. Probably baptized gently.
Nice and, yeah, under the water.
Yeah.
I think it was.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Can't picture it. Anyway, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? The idea here is Jesus is coming back. They still kind of have this misconception that when he comes back, he's going to establish a physical kingdom.
Well, they were still thinking he was going to do it today.
Right.
I mean, they weren't even thinking coming back. They think you just rose from the dead to do this.
Are you going to do it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted.
He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times.
Yeah.
A weird translation on those.
It is. It's Chronos and
Kairos
are the two words there. And the cool thing, it's the, you know, Jesus basically saying, stop it, dudes. Let the Father focus on this. And he's helping them to see that the Father has a plan for both the actual dates, mm-hmm. so the chronology of that, but also the times. What are the events that are going to happen when that end time actually, let the Father deal with that.
Yeah.
You focus on.
Yep.
What's next?
A lot's going to change in the world between now and then. I couldn't even begin to describe it to you. You couldn't begin to understand what's going to happen. So just stop thinking about it and start focusing on. And then he changes their attention.
Yeah.
He's like, you're looking for times and events and you're caught up in the wrong idea. He says, here's what really matters. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. And then he gives the Acts 1:8 description of where you're going to do this witnessing thing. He says everywhere in Jerusalem, which was their hometown. Well, where they were throughout Judea, which is like the county would be the equivalent of what we have now. Yep. Samaria, which is like the next town over, and then to the ends of the earth.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
I mean, that's why when I said in worship, the day I talked about this, it was, you know, Gillette to Campbell County to Wyoming and to the end of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's the imagery.
So start where you are and work your way out.
Mm-hmm.
After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while he was watching, while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. This is kind of why we understand the coming of Jesus. That's why we talk about heaven being up, which directionally is kind of weird because up is different depending on what side of the earth you're on.
Correct.
Sideways some places.
Sideways some place.
It's flat, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Right. Careful.
Yeah, wow. Oh, did I go there?
You went there.
You went there.
All right.
Keep going. This Saturday is Earth Day, guys.
Yeah,
I know.
So we're going to pay reverence to this sphere.
Even if it's flat.
Even if it's flat.
We don't care.
Yeah. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a mile or a half a mile. So I think we can kind of break this. There's so many different things we can talk about in this passage.
It really is.
It's deep.
A lot. You could preach 10 messages off of this passage, but the two ideas that I think we're going to focus on today is why are we empowered? This Holy Spirit empowerment that Jesus told them that was going to come, and then we read a short time later actually came. What was the purpose of that empowerment? And then we're going to transition and we're going to talk about, okay, what does it look like to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Once we figure out why we are empowered, we're going to talk about, okay, those people who are empowered, what did it do? What kind of effect does it have on our lives? So let's start with that first one. And we get quite a few clues in this passage, but Paul, why are we empowered? What is it? What is the purpose of this Holy Spirit empowerment that we receive?
Yeah. A big chunk of it is to change us.
Yeah.
That's one exciting thing is that God wants to change us from the inside out with the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you're, I mean, he talks about the witnessing thing here. I don't know if you want to get into the witnessing right away.
Yep.
Okay. He wants, and that's the whole idea of going out into the world. We are to, you know, Jesus wants to be famous in this world.
Yep.
He really does. And he wants, that's the power of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus famous through us.
Yeah.
And you think of how cool that is, that Jesus wants the world to know all about him. And if he stayed here, and this is one of the cool things of this passage, if Jesus stayed here like the disciples wanted him to, he would just be one person, because he was human, fully human. He could only meet with one person or one crowd of people at a time. And so the rest of the world was going to be missing out in that moment. But as soon as he went up and the Holy Spirit came down into whoever has faith in Jesus, well, now we can start doing something. This is a powerful movement. And then through us, Jesus can become famous as we start sharing the Jesus that we have in us with others.
So the idea is that we receive Holy Spirit empowerment so that we can be outward focused, so that we can take it on mission and we can become, I think inward focus is like the fastest way to stifle the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks a couple different times about stifling the Spirit, or what's the other word it uses for it? But this idea of deadening or decreasing the Spirit's ability to work, usually it's an inward focus, a me focus, a self focus that does that most often in Scripture.
Yeah. And the Pharisees had that quite often. You know, and every time Jesus interacted with them, they were worried about their own way of life. And because of that, they missed out on seeing the kingdom that Jesus brought while he was here. So we can imagine what it was like once he left, gave us the Spirit. For those that were inward focused, they were going to miss out on truly experiencing the kingdom life.
Mm-hmm. This is very personal to me in that the times in my life when I have felt the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's almost every time I'm having a conversation with somebody who asks me a challenging question about what I believe, or somebody wants a deeper understanding of Scripture or a deeper understanding of God, or to have a relationship with them. It is those times when I most feel the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I think we get so confused about what the Holy Spirit empowerment looks like, because in so many circles, it is this me-focused, feelings-centered idea. When I think in reality, it is a tool, a missional tool that we are given. I can't even list the number of times when somebody's come up to me after church and asked me a question. And in the moment, I'm like, I don't think I know the answer to that. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is revealing the answer to that question on the fly.
Yeah, well, that's like for me, you with different denominations, you do hear people talk often about the Holy Spirit, which I think then causes some unsureness, and you're not really sure what the role of that thing is. But I do, if you get to the more charismatic spots, it does seem like it's more of a worship part of the Christian walk.
Yeah.
It is not, you don't hear it talked about evangelistic or that arm of it very often, I don't think, of the Holy
Spirit.
Well,
I mean, that's because, again, we are a lot like the disciples were in that moment. We love Jesus. He makes sense. Mm-hmm. He's just like, he's a man.
Right.
Just like us. So we can better understand what he's doing. But when we're talking about a Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's untangible.
Yeah.
It's not, I can't touch and feel that. So it's harder to grasp.
Manifestation of the Spirit that most people talk to, or the go-to conversation, is usually about speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I was going to say tongues or prophesying or.
Yeah. And the argument usually comes down to people more in our circles would label speaking in tongues as a witnessing tool. It is the ability to speak a language that you don't already know. And even if you are using it as some kind of prayer language, you're like doing spiritual battle for the purpose of being missional, for the purpose of reaching lost people or drawing people to God. And so when we talk about speaking in tongues, it is always for a missional purpose. Mm. I'm speaking in tongues so that I can share the gospel with somebody, right, or so that I can fight a spiritual battle on somebody's behalf. I grew up in circles, though, where speaking in tongues was much more of a self-focused idea. I do it for self-edification. I do it for...
It's a prayer language.
It's a prayer language. Right. And right. I feel like even in a prayer language, you can do it for missional purposes or for selfish purposes.
Absolutely.
And so we, man, I spent so much of my high school days arguing about what is speaking in tongues and who can and who can't. What's the purpose of it?
Yeah, like growing up in Gillette, I would think I'd have to say if you had the Holy Spirit, then maybe it made you more, not introspective, but because we're not charismatic at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like some people, they get the Holy Spirit and they just turn rowdy. You know, they're dancing. Right. And,
more hyper.
Yeah, yeah. And for us, we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit that way, but it's just, it's funny the different communities and how they talk about it or show it.
For me growing up, it was, you know, Benny Hinn and the slaying of the spirit and you know, the healings and things like that. That's what I understood of the Holy Spirit's process.
You're right.
But for me, going back to something that you just said, Mike, about, you know, the work of the Spirit in our lives is, you know, I love sitting in a life group when we're having deep conversations about a passage of scripture or trying to figure out how does God's word fit into what we are doing. And for just watching the guys together corporately with the Spirit moving in each of us and wrestling with a text and having all of us having these epiphanies of light bulbs going on as we're all just seeing, oh,
yeah.
That's how it fits into our life.
Yep.
That's the movement of the Spirit.
That's how we can use it.
That's how I see the Spirit moving in our lives so much and changing and transforming us as we dig into God's word and allow the Spirit to help us understand what it means for us.
I used to try to decrease the amount of spiritual language around the Holy Spirit because I saw it as just an excuse to get hyper in church.
Mm-hmm. I'm not against it.
Yeah, yeah. But
I see you dancing on a Sunday morning.
Oh, dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. But when I was in college, I went to a summer camp and I was a camp counselor. And actually that week I was supposed to only have to be a musician on the stage. They didn't have enough camp counselors. So they asked me if I'd be a camp counselor. I was like, dude,
nice.
It's like the eighth week of camp. I was dead tired. I did not want to be doing this. And I said, yes, end up being a camp counselor and walk into our cabin. If you've ever been to church summer camp,
what age kids were these?
It was junior high.
Oh, okay. Oh, junior high is the worst.
it was the worst. No, it wasn't junior high. It was young. It was like ninth graders. Is that junior high?
All right.
In this town it is.
Ninth graders, whatever they were.
Ninth grade is high school.
Oh,
I don't know.
Dang it.
And I walk into this cabin. I start talking to these ninth grade boys and realize they are just, some church brought them in off the streets, had no familiarity with church. And I realized, well, this is not going to be a week off. And started building a relationship with these guys, realized none of them were Christians. Mm. And all kinds of weird things happened at this camp. There was one girl who was claiming that her mom was a witch. And then halfway through the camp, she started like waking up in the middle of the night, screaming at her counselor.
Nice.
And all kinds of like spiritual warfare type stuff was happening in this camp. And not so much in my cabin, but, in other areas, but every night we would get to the big rally and I would come in just praying, God, draw these kids to you, like they got to be saved. I was dead set. These kids got to be saved before we leave this camp, and wasn't seeing anything happen. Every night, I'd go back to the back of the room and I would pray like I don't normally pray. And actually, that was the only time I had an experience with like a prayer language personally.
Mm.
Now I don't know. That's beyond me. But I felt the need to pray in a prayer language that week. And so I'd pray for these kids every night. Nothing would happen. None of them would go forward. I'd go back to the cabin and be like, why didn't any of you go forward? And they'd usually have something negative to say about the speaker or whatever.
Speaker had a nose whistle and I just couldn't
He had a nose whistle. Until finally the last night of camp, again, I go back to the back. I'm praying for the guys. I'm like, God, bring them forward. And he finishes up. None of them have gone forward. It's about to be time to leave. I go down and I sit next to the students that are in my cabin. And none of them gone forward. Last song, I'm like, okay, whatever. So I sit down and kind of put my head in my hands and just kind of lean forward. And the end of the song comes, toward the end of the song, and one of the kids hit me on the leg and said, and pointed down front, and all the guys had gone down front, and he's asking me to go down front with him. And, that week kind of, I became a believer in Holy Spirit interaction in the witnessing and the sharing of faith. And that kind of began a process of me changing the way I think about revelation, the way I think about the way God uses us and empowers us with the Spirit to accomplish what He's put us here to accomplish.
Uh-huh. Again, that just goes back to the understanding. We are so used to the tangible. You wanted to see their physical movement because that's all you could really see.
Yeah.
But what you couldn't see was what the Holy Spirit was doing in their lives, taking the seeds that were being planted and watering them and growing them and helping them to start longing for it for the right moment.
Yep.
You wanted that moment the way you wanted to see it.
Right. Hey, when is your kingdom coming, Jesus?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, come on, get this done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's how we are. If we would just learn to surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see it happening all the time here at New Life. There's somebody where a husband of a wife who's coming that we've been praying for a long time, or different thing that's happening. And we're just like constantly praying for people and getting frustrated that they won't see or they won't do. And then every once in a while we see a breakthrough. That's
dude, so we baptized somebody yesterday with that story. Huh. For the woman who had been in prison.
Yeah.
Her mom had had us praying for her for the last couple years.
Wow.
She's been on our prayer chain.
Yeah.
So we've had groups of people here praying for this woman while she's in prison, watching our services online. She accepts Christ.
Yep.
We baptized her yesterday.
I think life change is so supernatural. We make it so physical, and we focus on the physical, but I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe that our prayer is doing something in the lives of spirit, in the spirits of people who are far from God, even when we can't see it.
And that's why we need to encourage our prayer chain. I mean, sometimes they think we're just doing our thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are doing your thing. And because of that, God is doing His thing.
Yep. We have a kindergarten teacher here in our children's ministry, who writes letters to prisoners. We have a prison ministry. We stream our services into the prison and into the jail, and so she writes letters with her kindergartners to these prisoners, and says, "Hey, just want to let you know we're praying for you." And they will. They'll pray for these prisoners. Well, we had a one of these guys get out of prison. He actually came to my wife's office, because she was the only one in the office, and sat down at her desk and was like, and said, "Hey, I just got out of prison." And my wife's like, 911?
Yeah.
Help.
My husband will be here in just a moment. Yeah,
he's on the other side of the door. And so he starts talking, and he says, "Yeah, when I was in prison, the kindergarten teacher in your church would send me letters. And I just want to let you know that while I was in prison, I gave my life to the Lord," and told an awesome story about how this teacher's faithfulness to pray for him had made such a difference in his life. And
that, what's the purpose?
Yeah.
Again, let's go back to that. He sent the Spirit. Jesus ascended. The Spirit descended to make us witnesses so that we can help Jesus be famous.
Yeah.
The story of you at camp. You were allowing the Holy Spirit to make Jesus famous with all those kids.
Right. Yep.
The kindergarten teacher, what is she doing? She or he?
Yeah. She.
She. Okay. She's having the kids. Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Of course it is.
Prayer warrior.
Yep.
Prayer warrior. And she's making Jesus famous by simply sending notes to people in prison.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a life group, having a conversation, me leading the discussion about God's word with all of these dudes around the circle, I'm simply making Jesus famous by the power of the Spirit that's moving in me.
Mm-hmm.
We become witnesses.
And being faithful to the "Your kingdom come" prayer, "Your will be done." We are your servants. We are following you, and we will be faithful to that prayer.
It makes us powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you think about. What does he say? He says, you will receive power. The Greek word there is dunamis, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
That sounds like a powerful word.
It's a t-shirt that says that.
You do. Yeah. That would be a cool one. And it's basically the image of the explosion of the Holy Spirit into the people of God. Mm. And it makes us powerful. Dynamite. I know. Dynamite. I think you guys had the power guys here at one time.
The power team.
We had the power team.
Was it exciting for you?
They're not a power team. They are the
power team.
Oh, yeah. They were powerful.
They broke things.
They broke bricks and bats. And
yeah. Is that what got you into lifting weights, Mitch?
That's what got me into the Holy Spirit was the power.
Oh, there you go.
I wanted to be powerful like those guys.
If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can break bats over your head.
That's I understood it as follow the Lord. And you can Hulk smash. That's how I understood it. Yeah. I don't know.
There's Big Country.
Yeah.
Bonsai.
I don't remember. Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan.
He was one of
the He just had no legs. It was a weird one.
I think the power of this. Can you imagine? Those guys are powerful, but the spirit, the power of the spirit to do what this Holy Spirit does in us is so much bigger.
Right.
Mm. I mean, breaking a bat. I have a chainsaw.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm not going to give any of their industry secrets away for how they broke things.
That's right.
But I will say.
But we look at this. You'd go back to the prayer. You mentioned it's the Lord's Prayer is what, you know, what we look at. And, you know, it starts off by us looking, acknowledging that God, he's God.
Yeah.
He's almighty. Mm-hmm. But then that next part of that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you guys ever prayed that before?
Sure a couple have. Times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever meant it? Hmm. Because think about what you're praying when you pray that.
Yeah.
Yep.
The disciples were not praying that in this moment. They were saying,
our kingdom.
Yeah. Do it my way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's common.
It is very common. That's how we do it.
Right.
Yeah.
We want things to be our way in our time periods. Do it my way. I mean, you talked about the selfish ideas of the kingdom that we want. When we are selfish in this prayer, we're missing out on the power.
So in the question of what does it look like for the Holy Spirit to empower us, the church I grew up in, the Slain in the Spirit church, we used to go to the Benny Hinn Crusades all the time. And we would go in and he would wave his hand and we'd all fall down and... we thought that something amazing was happening. I'm now totally skeptical of all that stuff because I experienced so much fake in it. I know there's real in that those circles, but I experienced so much of the fake. And I always used to ask this question, like, what does us falling down help to advance God's fame?
Well, you can't be slain if you're standing up.
It's true.
True, yes. But why were That's we slain? Why. What were we accomplishing by being slain?
Well,
what I was wondering, like,
you got more people to watch on TV.
It did bring some attention to us.
I feel like
I
feel like for me, like, because I've never been a part of that, but that is the marketing, cultural, that is the hype that you need. You see, you need.
People that was reality TV before there was reality TV.
Being changed so much by the Holy Spirit that they are falling over.
Yeah. And can God knock somebody over with the Spirit?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why couldn't he?
We're not denying that God can do what God wants to do, but I always ask the question, like, why? What is this accomplishing? We used to, the people who would cluck like chickens or bark like dogs or whatever.
Wait, they cluck like chickens?
Yeah, that was one of the things the Spirit did when he came upon people.
And I missed that one.
Yeah, that was...
I'm Phil left out.
Crazy things happened in our camp meeting, in the Spirit meetings.
You're the worship director here, Mitch. Can I ask you to start getting us to cluck like chickens?
The weird thing is that it was at this guy's barn, and his name is McDonald. People called him old McDonald. I think it just wore off, and it just...
Oh,
wow.
It's a weird coincidence. I don't know what it is.
But I believe that
there
are supernatural things that happen
as
a result of the Spirit. And I think when we fake something, which I'm calling a lot of that fake, I will, because I did it. I did the faking it. I fell down because everybody else was falling down,
sure.
And that was the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But I believe that us faking it draws attention away from when it really happens.
Right.
I remember I had talked to a missionary one time who his job was they would take, have you ever seen the Jesus movie?
Mm-hmm.
Back before they had The Chosen, they had
yep.
the Jesus movie. Yes. And they would take this movie and they would play it in villages in Africa and like hundreds of people would get saved, like incredible stories, kind of what's happening with The Chosen, but with a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me one story about a time when they go into a village and they were having a hard time playing this movie because the generator wasn't working. And finally they find a generator that's working and the cord is cut, the extension cords, they can't turn on the projector and all this crazy stuff is happening. And he said, all of a sudden, somebody must have figured something out because the movie starts playing.
Hmm.
And he tells a story about the Jesus movie playing and hundreds of people get saved. And then at the end of the movie, after he gets done praying with somebody, he goes to pack things up and he realizes the projector was not even plugged in. Like, nobody had plugged in the power of the projector.
Wow.
And the movie's point, like, the skeptical side of me is saying, yeah, right, you lying piece of trash. Like, there's no way that happened, except I know this guy. Like, he's not lying to me. I believe, he has no reason to lie to me. And I believe that the Holy Spirit does things like that when it is on mission. And every time that I've seen, like, a verifiable, the Holy Spirit moving, doing something great, there is fruit from it. Like, somebody is saved. Somebody is brought to Christ. It's not just a show that we're putting on, or not just self-gratification, or not just some emotional feeling that I get. When the Holy Spirit moves, there is fruit that results from it. And we see that fruit happen on all different levels. I mean, we see the fruit happening in people's lives.
There's no doubt. Time. Yeah. And can the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God.
Yeah.
So can the Holy Spirit, you look what the power that moved throughout scripture, God can do whatever God wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So to say that he couldn't do the power cord thing, no, he could.
Yeah.
But what we see on a regular basis around here is lives being transformed and changed because of the Spirit's moving in their lives.
Yeah.
And we have two people, a husband and wife, that the wife was going through a lot of health issues about 6 or so years ago. You and I know this family.
Yeah.
And they're some of our best leaders right now. But 10 years ago, they weren't actively involved in church at all.
Yeah.
She had health issues. He was at his wit's end because there was nothing that the doctors could do for his wife. He hit his knees, prayed, God moved. She's physically better now.
Yep.
He says God moved.
Hmm.
The doctors have no explanation. He says God moved. And he now is one of our better leaders in the life of the church. Lives are transformed and changed by the power of the Spirit. Sometimes God decides to physically heal somebody as part of that.
Yep.
Sometimes he doesn't. And there's other ways that he moves. Now, I look at, some of us know his name is Brad. Brad won't mind me mentioning his name here. Brad will be the first to tell you he's a different man today than what he was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's because he didn't necessarily pray the exact words of this prayer, but he prayed them.
Yeah.
Right.
And he meant it. He surrendered his life. He says, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. And because of that now, he acts differently than he used to act.
And that was a healing too. We like to elevate physical healing, and those are the examples we give of healing.
Absolutely.
So spiritual healing that he would say he needed much more than he's ever needed a physical
healing. Absolutely. And how he interacts with his family because of that, he's a different dad. Mm-hmm. He knows that he's a different dad today than what he was 5 years ago in how he interacts with his daughter.
And what an incredible impact he's had on his family that he wouldn't have had otherwise, but also he volunteers at youth and volunteering all over the place. Like, he's making, he is now living out the Your Kingdom Come idea as somebody who's empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He had a moment here just recently. He had a moment with one of the young bucks in our congregation. And they had a moment where Brad said in the past, he would have clocked the dude. Mm-hmm. And he said, probably one of us would have ended up in the hospital. But instead,
He's been working out a lot, so he probably would have been okay.
He could have, yeah. I don't know. I don't think so, because the young buck is, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. And but Brad said this time he walked away and he prayed. And then he went back to the guy and they reconciled. And I just saw them the other couple days ago and they were interacting like they're best friends again.
Right. Yeah.
And so Brad said that would have never happened before.
Yep.
We would have stayed enemies. So you see the Spirit's work on this man's life. That is a witness to the young buck who's still learning what Jesus is all about. Mm. He now has a better picture of what Jesus is about because of how Brad interacted with him.
Right. I think we fall into the temptation of the disciples here saying, when is our kingdom going to be restored?
Yeah.
When we like to make all miracles physical, when we like to only see miracles and we only call it a miracle when it is a physical thing that happens. I think part of the problem is we haven't put ourselves in a place to experience physical healing or physical miracles because we're kind of self-sustaining in that. We're like the rich guy that's got it all together and we don't really have a need to pray for physical healing because we got doctors for that stuff. And, but also, I think that we've elevated the physical over the spiritual healing when one is so much more valuable than the other.
And Jesus didn't.
Yeah.
You look at right. in Scripture, you know, just the story of Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus, when his life is transformed and changed and says, I'm going to act differently than I used to because I just encountered the presence of God in my midst, Jesus says, you're now, say, salvation has come to this house. Yeah. So Jesus elevates the spiritual above the physical. He said, that's more exciting than if I would have healed you physically.
Right. And he tells the crippled man, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, wait, you can't do that. He's like, what's harder for me to say your sins are forgiven or to help this person walk? Your sins are forgiven. That's what you need most. That's what's most valuable.
Mm-hmm. That's what's elevated.
Yep.
We are changed by power. Dunamis. It's great. You can make a t-shirt, Mike. Dunamis changes us. The power of the Spirit changes and transforms us for a purpose to make Jesus famous. These stories that we're talking about where lives are transformed and changed, they make Jesus famous when we go out into the community around us and they're seeing us act differently. And if we can say, it's not me.
Right.
It's God.
If we want to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we have to start putting ourselves into position to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If all I'm ever doing is focusing on me and my self-gratification and my feelings and all of that, I'm not going to the place where I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what he's called me to do because I'm not stepping into the purpose that he gave me the empowerment for.
But on the flip side, if you're praying the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done.
Yep.
Change me, God. Don't not me change you to fit my needs, God, but God change me.
Yep.
For your kingdom's sake. It changes everything.
It's a powerful prayer.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. It's fun.
Killed it, man.
I think I would say we're close enough that I call you father for sure.
Would you ever get to the emotional place where you could say daddy?
No. I can't do that. I don't think I can do that.
I think physically I'm old enough to be your dad.
I don't know.
But yeah, I'd rather just.
Doing the math. He is.
You're good at math if you did that.
You're catching up, wow. Dude.
Yep.
You're going to be 40 this year?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Dang, that was live when you said it. Yeah. Well, thank you. This is a good conversation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this conversation, got something out of it, and if you just want to spread the word, will you please hit the thumbs up button?
Like it.
Yeah, that's right. Smash it, as some people say.
They do.
They do. Would you please hit the thumbs down button twice? Two times if you did not like it.
Like please. You're on the power team.
Yeah, just...
Aggressive.
Aggressively double click that down, just so we know for sure that you didn't like it. Also, sharing this is a great way to get the word out. Liking it, all those things, subscribe to the channel so that you can be notified next Monday that we'll be live at 4. And I hope that you experience the Holy Spirit this coming week. Yeah.
And as you go, know that Jesus loves you unconditionally and he died to give you new life.